Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mad Daddy on the Saturday flight from the Tower of Power, the very top story in my wavy gravy groovy gravy rocket laboratory, where we're bending every effort and making every test to be sure that our records are always the best. You see, before we play them on this crazy wavy air, we dip them in this smoking vat with extra special care. Wearing thick big rubber gloves and using special tongs, we make the Mad Dad acid test on the up and coming song.
A Cleveland great, Mad Daddy Pete Myers himself.
Yep.
Kind of leading us in to wrap up our window weekend.
Shame on you, New York, for not loving him. Shame on you, New York.
That's right. They didn't get it. They received it, but they didn't get it. Well, go New York. Go figure. They hit some things they shouldn't have got. Oh, man. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Bigley from The Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And is it okay if I come in through the window now, Dale? You kept me outside all afternoon. Can I come in through the window now?
Yes, yes. Do come in. Plenty of room, folks. Come on in. The windows are open.
And we may need to after an all-good story tonight as we return to the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
See, I didn't understand, Dave, when you first came up with this theme for this week in Windows. I don't do Windows. Well, apparently I do.
Well, but we do this weekend. Yes, we do. And this is kind of cool. This is a story it's sort of a Bermuda Triangle story. Very interesting. I have to tell you what, Dale, I don't know whether this was actually based on a bit of truth or whether I've been completely snookered in. From the time I've heard this way back in the 1970s, I believe this to be based on real files from a psychic-type investigator. And I looked up, and at one point I found something on this guy named Bryce Bond. Then I looked again and I couldn't find anything on Bryce Bond. At one point, through all the different things, I did find something on some kind of investigator. So I'm not sure. And there is a guy in the story who actually, Bryce Bond, who plays the part of Bryce Bond. So I'm not sure whether this is actually based on a psychic investigator's files, or if this is just something wonderful from the creative mind of Mr. Ian Martin, who not only wrote this particular episode or adapted it, perhaps, and he also acted in it as well.
Yep. Either way, you are in for a thrill ride with another great story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep. This is also one of the many that stuck with me all these years. It's so funny how hard these were to get, because it was people who collected them, who recorded them and collected them. That's how these things survived the way they have. And I could only afford so many cassettes. I had a friend who had a paper route. He recorded them almost every night onto 8-track. And so there were other people who were able to do these things. So, and what's funny is just all of a sudden, with the expansion of the internet, how these all just started showing up all together on the internet. Really cool.
That it is. And we got a really cool story for you. Now, Dave, of course, you got to hear this during your lifetime. I did not get the pleasure of CBS Radio Mystery Theater growing up. I would have loved these. These would have been right up my alley.
Yes, yes. And this one would have too, because I'm not sure. This almost, in a sense, although it's more dramatized, reminds me a little bit of almost, in a sense, in a way, kind of Leonard Nimoy's In Search of. Of how this was presented, although it was really dramatized. So that's
so
why I'm confused. I am confused because I really almost feel in my heart I want to believe it was based on the psychic investigator's files. In this story, they say it's based on this psychic investigator's files. In this story, there's a guy named Bryce Bond who's billed as Bryce Bond.
Hmm.
But I don't know. But you know what? I want to believe, Dale. I want to believe.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yep.
As we examine the frightening fringes of freakydom in this first episode, or first portion of our episode tonight, Window to Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. And this is episode number 838 from May 23rd, 1978.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. New York is a city of subways, old, new, in construction, and projected, and of the masses of people who ride them daily, commuting to and from work. This is the story of an old and battle-scarred subway user, and a new spur line opened at last, and as usual, too late to achieve its objective, relieve congestion. But it did bring Alvin Freiberg a strange and wonderful freedom from the grinding daily tragedy of a life not worth living.
What's the matter, Al? You got an itch or something?
We're getting near 35th and Neely. I'm not passing it again.
This subway doesn't stop at that station.
Why?
How do I know? There's got to be a reason.
So how come the conductor doesn't know?
It's a brand new line. Call the transit authority.
I didn't get a chance. I got to know the truth about it just the same. Here it comes, 35th and Neely. This time I got to know.
What are you going to do?
Stop the train. I'm going to get off.
Are you crazy or something? Alvin, stay away from that emergency.
Our mystery drama, The Phantom Stop, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Al Freiberg and Marvin Schreiber shared the same treadmill. They both worked for Goldman Incorporated. Al is a pattern maker, Marv is a cutter. They both rode the subway morning and night. They both shared...
They both had to say goodbye because they were here last weekend.
Well, then what's the big hurry? I'm not due with the...
Okay.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
There we go.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Those of you who have followed Mystery Theater through the years must, by now, like Hamlet, be convinced that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamed of in our philosophies. And the more science advances, the stranger and stranger are the things it cannot explain. The following is a true story, most of which is documented. Only some of the names have been changed to protect those still alive.
Can you see a weather mask over me, Gil? Thick as pea soup and black as bean? Over.
Negative. What comes, Billy? Over.
It's weird. I've got this black mass sitting right over me, and below, the sea's gone all white and choppy. Over.
You hold on and keep circling. I'm coming your way. You read me? Over.
I read you loud and clear, but you better contact center. I'm really getting bounced around. I don't know what's going on here.
A our mystery drama, Window to Oblivion, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton and Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. On December 15th, 1945, after coming through World War II unscathed, if anyone had told Marine pilot Lieutenant Billy Howard this was his last day on Earth as a living human being, he would never have believed them. Only his wife Joan, out of some deep psychic sense, which later was to be an important element of this story, had any advance warning. But even there, because Joan was younger and because the circumstance that was to separate them was so strange, the signal was garbled, jumbled, and not strong enough for her to recognize its shocking import. This is how it all began.
Hey, lazy bones. Roust it out.
Hey, it's broad daylight. What time is it?
Ease up, darling. No sweat. It's only 9 o'clock.
Oh, thank heavens. Well, then what's the big hurry? I'm not due at the base till noon.
That's when the Marines repossess you, darling. But for this morning, after I feed you, you remember you were all mine? We're going on a little shopping spree for the loving wife?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot about that for a minute. Hey, how about the war being over and just nice to talk about normal things?
It's been over for a few months. And it is about that time.
Ooh, what time?
To talk about normal things. Oh, Billy, I really don't care about the shopping. That's just a symbol.
Oh, I do. I want my wife to be dressed as gorgeous as she looks.
I would give up an all-year-round wardrobe to know my husband wasn't going to be dressed the way he is anymore, no matter how gorgeous he looks.
Honey, I still haven't piled up enough points to get separated from the service.
The moment you do, I want you to. Please.
Well, I don't know. It's a pretty good life, Joan. I've put in quite a bit of time learning to be a Marine pilot. We might do worse.
No.
No what?
I don't want you flying anymore, Billy.
Joan, darling, you never acted like this before.
All right, I know. I just have this feeling. Will you be going up today?
Well, sure, but it's just a routine scouting flight.
Scouting for what?
Well, come on, Joan. What's gotten into you?
Billy, I don't know. It started last night. I have this obsession that if you go up on this flight, I don't know. I just feel like you're never going to come back.
Hey, come on. What goes?
It's like somebody is trying to send me a message, only I'm too stupid to understand. Darling, do you have to report today?
I'll tell you what. Let's go buy you a new wardrobe and get you all set, and then we'll start to worry about me.
Here we are, Flyboy.
And there you are, sweetheart. Boy, that's a pretty smashing outfit I made you clothe your beautiful body in.
I think it's smashing, too. If you'll just come back to enjoy it.
Okay, come on. Now, let's stop with a crepe hanger.
I know I ought to be ashamed, but I can't help it. Billy, I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know.
That's what we're all scared of, isn't it? The unknown. Well, that's not where I'm going today.
Where are you going?
As it holds true to custom, the same few hundred square miles of Atlantic that I keep tracking day after day until I have a hard time staying awake.
Where?
Northeast from Fort Lauderdale to Bermuda, square off southwest for a leg, and then back due west to base, this defense patrol. Now, any more classified secrets you'd like to worm out of me?
Oh, Billy. Billy, I love you so. What would I do without you?
Come on, 23 months in action in the Pacific. I come out without a scratch. What could happen on a routine nuke run like today?
I know. I'm just being silly. Hold me a minute.
Okay, Gyrenes, button it up. Your peerless leader has a few special words of wisdom for your ears alone. I'm going to brief you short and sweet in today's mission. This is no routine scout patrol. to search and destroy.
Destroy what, sir?
I don't know. That's what I'm coming to. I hope nothing. But this morning, a couple of funny things turned up here in Area C, south and east of the Bermudas. Santa picked up some unidentified blips on the radar, which didn't act normal. They kept flicking on and off the scope. Well, they were enough to set off a general alarm, and D-Wing was sent up on a scramble to pan out and intercept. They didn't encounter anything, but two strange reports came back which we can't evaluate. One pilot claimed he sighted a kind of spinning disc at 11,000 feet, but when he tried to close with it, it shot straight up into the stratosphere and disappeared. Another pilot, flying at 1,500, claims that about 200 miles south of Bermuda, the sky suddenly went black above him. And below, the water was boiling white and eddying in a counterclockwise direction. By the time he called in two other planes for verification, the wave formation, or whatever it was, had disappeared. The sky was clear. Now, here's our mission for today. And this is how I want you to proceed. This is Wing Commander Little Eva. We're coming up 5,000. When we reach altitude, peel off and run through your own grid patterns at altitude assigned. No communication during flight unless you have sighted something you can't handle. Oh, and in emergency, do not use regular code words for disaster or aid requests. Use red apple. Repeat, red apple. All air traffic knowledge is measured by the numbers as I request you to speak in. Coming up, number one. Over to you. Roger, Billy Boy. Any questions? Over.
You really believe all this malarkey? Hey, I bet you 2 beers to 1. This just turns out to be a routine patrol. Over.
I just follow orders, and you'd better too, pal. I'm flying the course next to yours. Now, do me a favor. Get off the air. I need to talk to ground. Over.
See you on the deck. We'll laugh at this. Over and out.
One bit I could take him up on. This is Flight the Leader to Tower. We are at 5,000, heading 60. Now departing traffic and leaving your frequencies. Going over to M Center. Bye-bye. Expect us back at brief 1,700 hours. This is Little Eva saying so long. This is Wing Commander Little Eva to M Center. Over.
Little Eva, do you read us? Over.
I read you, ground. What cooks? Over.
All quiet here. We mark y'all on radar. No other signs of activity. What altitude are you maintaining? Over.
All aspects is briefed, unless you have other orders. The three of us over the hotspot will maintain 8,000. There's no sign of anything unusual in the air or over the sea. Negative target. We'll keep you advised. Over and out.
This is Billy 15 to number one Little Eva. Do you read me? Do you read me? Over.
Read you loud and clear. Why are you breaking silence? Over.
I am northeast quadrant, sector 5-1, south of Bermuda, a couple hundred miles. Second sweep on my grid, and I don't like what I see. Over.
Stop the break radio silence. Over.
You're right. Where are you? Over.
About 70 knots southeast of you. 8,000. Over.
I don't know, Gil. It's weird. I got this black mass sitting right over me, and below, the sea's gone all white and choppy. It's kind of swirling, like maybe a submarine was surfacing. Only I want to tell you, if it is, it is the biggest submarine you ever saw. Over.
You hold on and keep circling. I'm coming your way. Oh, you better contact Adam Sander and alert them. You read me? Over.
Yeah, I read you loud and clear, but I'm in real rough weather, getting bounced around. You better contact Center. I want to tell you, I don't know what's going on here. Over.
This is M Center Control to Little Eva Commander. Communications to your 15, Little Eva, interrupted. Are you in his area? Over.
This is Little
Oliva, number one. I'm heading his area. Everything normal here. What goes there? Over.
Well, we don't know. We got a blip on the screen, unidentified, and he was on collision course. Now it looks like he's circling target. Over.
I told him to hold up, but he didn't acknowledge a sighting. You better contact him. Red Apple. Red Apple. I'm under attack, I think. I don't know what it is. A thing like an enormous punch grid with no handle. It circled me, then stood on one edge. The thing went by me so close it nearly sheared off my port wing. Now he's over me. Hovering. He's coming down. The compass is going haywire.
This is M Center Control to Little Eva 15. Do you read me? Come in, Little Eva. Little Eva 15, hang on. Help is on the way. Do you read? Over.
I read you, but don't send help. No use. Nothing you or anyone can do. This thing is sucking me in. Swallowing me up. It's from our space. Our space.
December 15th, 1946. Flight 17 on a routine mission out of Fort Lauderdale. Codename Little Eva. One pilot and plane that never returned. Lieutenant Billy Howard, 26. Crashed in the area of water that was many years later to become known as the Bermuda Triangle. Or swallowed up through some time window into outer space and another world. It was to be over 30 years before there began to be any answers or explanations. I shall return shortly with some of them and Act Two.
And that we will do.
From outer space, space. Cool story. You know, I never heard Bermuda Triangle story quite like this one, or told quite like this one either. So,
and fun. This one's going to be a lulu. I'll bet you the next two segments sound even better.
I bet you they do. How much volume is I going to pump out of this thing?
Yeah. Hey, I want to welcome Evil Annie, CW, GGSI Paper to the chat. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, and having a good time with the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Window to Oblivion. And I can't even blame Blog Talk on that one. I just didn't delete the one from last week. That's segment one. Hey, but I never get rid of them until I know they're aired because of stupidity like this that I do.
Easy. Go easy on yourself.
Yeah. No, can't do that. I'm in the midst of, actually, I'll warn everybody now. I'm working on a coronavirus version of the Weirdness Really Bad Movie Show where I'm hosting it with myself. And I'm really picking on myself pretty badly in this one. Because I don't have a co-host to do it because they're, you know, just because it
social
doesn't
distancing,
work that
way. Yes.
So it's kind of fun. I don't want to do this all the time, but it'll be fun to have this. We kind of be kind of my little way of sharing a story for when this is all over. And that'll some people will not believe this thing actually happened in a few years from now, you know. But it did.
Yes, it did, and we're living it.
Yeah, and it's you know, my son is saying how tough it is, and he's got two young kids, and how antsy they are. But you know, I need to remind him, like in Spain, they're letting parents take their kids out for 1 hour of supervised playtime outside for the first time in like 5 weeks, and they only get 1 hour out, and they have to be supervised. So, you know,
it's not a horrible idea. I don't think that's a horrible idea.
Our kids are past that stage, Dale.
No. I mean, when you have young kids, though, I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, yeah, it isn't. But it's more restrictive than what we're having here. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this will be winding down soon. We shall see. If not, hey, you can still come here absolutely safe from Corona and other viruses.
Yes, I will leave it at that. I won't say what some. We'll save that for another time. But yes,
I can't wait.
The only thing you might not be safe from is hackers. I know a website that got hacked, and they actually have to use somebody else's website to actually cast from. So it's really, wow.
Ouch. Something. Ouch.
Yeah. I think hackers are terrible. They're some of the worst. You know, they do this for social justice and stuff sometimes, but what they do is so criminal, it's unbelievable. You know, attacking banks, institutions, governmental institutions and stuff. Man, it's just wrong. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Hey, in a way, you could look at it as comparable to horse stealing. Shoot him! Shoot him in the back!
String him up. It'll teach him a lesson. Hey, there's somebody in knocking on the door over there.
There is?
Yes.
Where? I don't see him. Oh, why? No, that's me.
You called in on your phone? There's three of us.
I don't know why it looks like that. I do not know why it looks like that. Anyway, a little fun in the studio, folks. I am now like Bob Seger. I'm not a number.
Okay.
Maybe I am. I'm just good old 55003. Whatever the hell that means.
There's a 442 number there.
I don't see it. Let me
really?
Refresh. Oh, yeah. How about that? Hi there. Welcome to Erie House Radio.
Well, hello, Erie House Radio. This is Jiggles the Clown calling once again.
Hello, Jiggles.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember me?
Yes, bring out the Bermuda Triangle story, and Jiggles comes racing back to Erie House Radio.
Yes, yes, the clown is back once again. Oh my, it's been so long.
Where have you been hiding?
Where have I been hiding? I've been hiding in my clown tent.
I'm
kind of quarantined in my clown tent right now. I don't have much to entertain myself.
Does a clown mask, does that protect you from the coronavirus?
Well, I don't wear a mask. I wear makeup, but sometimes I wear this little mask that has a design with balloons on it. And it's very pretty, and it wins over the ladies. You ought to try it sometime.
I play with balloons when I go over to Dollar Tree and they have those helium balloons. I do inhale the balloons from time to time.
For me, it's laughing gas.
Oh, I'm quite a fan of inhaling those myself.
I hope you're enjoying our radio program tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, very much. It's Jiggles the Clown endorsed, approved.
We are honored.
We are.
Now, Jiggles, do you have an internet, like a podcast or an internet video show or anything like that? Are you a YouTuber?
Oh no, nothing like that. But hopefully, one day soon, Jiggles will have his fame and he will rise to the top and be above all the other clowns.
So, in other words, you make as much doing Jiggles as we doing this show. Yeah, okay. I get it.
Well, it's enjoyable, but I feel like my throat is going to die one of these days. But that's okay as long as I get to entertain people.
Well, that's it. Entertaining people and putting a smile on people's faces without throwing a pie at them is really what it's all about, isn't it?
What's the fun in life if you can't throw a pie at someone.
That's what I say. I got to go with the clown on this one. I'm all in for a pie.
Oh my. Well, maybe Jiggles, maybe you could introduce our part two of our story tonight of Window to Oblivion.
Really now? Well, that would be quite a privilege.
Well, go ahead.
I know nothing.
Yeah, well, that's why you fit right in here.
Great. Work out really well. All right. Well, then, Dale, kick it off.
Sure. Part two of our show from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Window to Oblivion. We'll be back.
Whatever happened to Billy Howard, a Marine pilot flying a routine mission who disappeared as suddenly and mysteriously as though a hand had reached out of the sea or the sky and whisked him into some other dimension? Did he simply crash, as was reported to the public? Or were there reasons why his particular fate was hushed up and the true circumstances kept from his wife? Let's take one more look at his disappearance and then follow his story from 1945 to today.
This is M Control Center to Commander Little Eva. What happened to your wingman? Come in, over.
Commander Little Eva, to M Central. I don't know. I had him in sight, but he just disappeared. What can you tell me, over?
Well, we had his blip on the scope. There was another unidentified blip on intercept course. They fused and went right off the screen. What, did he crash with something? Over.
No, definite negative. No other craft within sight. He just disappeared. Over.
Well, what do you mean, disappeared? Went into the drink, crashed in the sea? Over.
No, he didn't crash. He just disappeared. Over.
You had him in full sight? It happened before your eyes? Over.
Well, there was temporary cloud cover, not over 10 to 12 seconds. But when it cleared, he was just gone. Over.
So it's still possible he ditched. Over.
No way I could see. I mean, I guess he must have, but it just isn't logical. There's no time. I'd have seen a plane, a parachute, something. I don't mind telling you, I'm getting heebie-jeebies. You got any sightings there on the scope? Over.
Negative. Just your flight wing, all coded. We are sending out PBY Air Sea Rescue to comb the area. Now check your position carefully and give me your best estimate of coordinates so we can zero in. And Major, button up on this. No leaks. It's stamped top secret.
Coming. I'm on my way. Kill Shane. Where's Billy, isn't he with you?
Joan, could I come in a minute? There's something I
knew it. Something's happened to Billy. What is it?
Joan, if I could just step in for a second.
All right. I'm sorry. Come in.
Thanks.
Tell me about Billy. What is it? He's hurt? Please tell me he's just hurt. He's not dead, is he, Gil? Please don't say that he's dead.
Hey,
take it easy. Just tell me that he's not dead, please.
Joan, I just don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know what happened to Billy. If he's alive or if he's dead. At 1500 hours this afternoon, 3 p.m. your time, Billy just up and disappeared.
Disappeared?
And his plane with him.
I don't understand what you're telling me, Gil.
I don't understand it myself, Joan. And I shouldn't be telling you this much. It's all supposed to be strictly hush-hush.
And what about my husband? What about Billy?
The official report will be that he crashed from some malfunction while on routine.
Malfunction of what? The plane? Or Billy?
Just that he crashed. Cause unknown.
You ought to know you were there.
I was and I wasn't.
What does that mean?
Well, just at the time I brought him in sight, there was some cloud cover in between us. By the time I got through it, Billy and his Corsair were just gone.
But you didn't see him crash?
No.
Or him parachute out?
No.
The plane would sink, but maybe Billy's still floating in the sea somewhere.
No, don't forget it. I circled that spot till they sent out our PBYs and even a mariner after that. Every square foot of that ocean, all the way to Bermuda, and within the parameters of any possible descent, has been scoured. One fact we have to face is that Billy is gone.
But I won't believe he's dead. Can you honestly tell me he is?
Joan, what do you want of me? Okay. Yes, I do.
You're just like all the others.
What others?
The generals and the admirals, all the ones who are trying to hide the truth.
What truth?
That some other enemy got him, or somebody from some outer space or another world. They just won't admit it.
Joan, face it, how can they? There isn't enough evidence to go on.
There's Billy.
That's not enough. Not any evidence, really, just speculation.
All right, I'll stick to that. At least if I do, I can still have some hope he's alive. Don't you?
What can I say, Joan? Planes, men don't just disappear into thin air. He must have crashed.
But you don't believe it all the way.
I gotta believe it, or else I...
Or else what? That some other world is invading us?
Yes, anything like that. Every precaution is being taken. The whole service is on the alert. You don't have to worry that every step will be taken to make sure that we're in no danger.
Has it ever occurred to you that these people, these extraterrestrial forces, might not be our enemies?
After 5 years of war, I don't trust anything or anyone.
So you want Billy to be dead?
I have to be honest, Joan. Yes.
Well, I don't believe he is. And I will never believe it till it's proven to me. I won't accept the fact that Lieutenant Billy Howard is dead.
That was the 15th of December, 1945. It was to be over 30 years before I enter the picture, and the legend of Billy Howard started to be reestablished as fact. My name is Bryce Bond. I'm a lecturer, author, UFO investigator, and teacher of parapsychology. I'm also a practicing healer. It was a combination of the last three of these functions that drew me into Mrs. Howard's orbit, or perhaps she into mine. A story had first come to my attention in the early 70s. The story haunted me, and in 1975, knowing that Mrs. Howard stubbornly refused to consider her husband actually dead, a group of 40 of us psychics decided to see if we could contact Billy Howard. What resulted from that had brought me now into 1977 to meet Mrs. Howard face to face.
Are you Mr. Bond?
I am.
I've been expecting you. Won't you please come in?
Oh, thank you. Oh, what an attractive house you have.
It's grown through the years. Settled in. The garden is so luxuriant, I'd never be able to keep it under control if Charlie weren't as avid a gardener as I am.
Charlie?
My husband. I'm sorry he's not home to meet you.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Howe. But I guess that isn't your name now.
No, it's Mrs. Murillo. I thought it better with what we have to discuss that my second husband shouldn't be here. We have a screen porch. Shall we sit there? It's a little warm today.
Okay, wherever you choose.
Then will you follow me?
I followed this calm, controlled woman in her 50s to her house. A house that gave every evidence of being warmly lived in. Her figure was as neat and trim as that girl's over 30 years ago, who had said goodbye to a husband who never came back. I wondered if I was wasting my time. Or, more important, was I wasting hers? And intruding on someone who seemed to have life under control, and who was neither asking nor wanting any help or interference from me.
I can't tell you what your letter meant to me.
I'm relieved if you feel that way. Under the circumstances, I felt that this might be an invasion of your privacy.
Because I'm remarried?
Well, yes.
I don't think it is. I will neither defend nor apologize for what has happened in the 32 years since Billy disappeared. I am human. No woman wants to be alone. I have a wonderful marriage with a kind and gentle man. But we entered into it with everything in the open. Never mind the legal aspects. Even after all this time, I refuse to believe that Billy Howard is dead.
And nothing I could say would change your mind?
No.
You're quite sure?
Yes. Is that why you wrote and asked to see me?
Yes. But of course, I didn't realize that you had a whole other life.
Don't you worry about that life. I can handle it. Tell me about Billy.
Well, Joan, as I explained in my letter, in 1975, I read in a column in the paper a report that it was the 30th anniversary of Lieutenant Howard's strange disappearance. I had known the history of the case before, and, well, this was enough to trigger me into doing something about it.
Doing something about it?
Oh, a number of things. First of all, I did some deeper research on it. As you know, due to the late Brigadier General Gilshane's efforts, the files and all the reports of that mission were finally open to the public.
Yes, Gil was marvelous about that, for what good it did.
You mustn't be bitter, Mrs. Howard. Oh, I beg your pardon.
I suppose you just call me Joan, less confusing, and I'll call you Bryce.
That would help.
Please go on.
Well, I was just trying to say that you shouldn't be too bitter about the reaction of the authorities. It's one thing to be able to say that either by a malfunction of the plane or some mistake of the pilot, an unfortunate and fatal crash occurred. But to speculate on what really happened, that would be very difficult for established and ordered principle.
What do you think really happened, Bryce?
Now, for me, it's simple. I don't think. I know.
What?
What I told you in my letter. What 40 of us psychics have established and can prove. What you know, you believe yourself. Or I wouldn't be here. That your first husband, Billy J. Howard, is still alive.
For all her instinctive belief, Joan Howard is shaken to the roots. That this intangible ghost that has haunted her for over a full generation might suddenly become a reality, that at last she has found others who believe in what has only been a dream, vaguer and vaguer with passing years, is a shattering revelation. But she is committed. She must find out if and why it could possibly be true, to justify the life she has led and try to face her future. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
And we'll return with him. We are here with Jiggles the Clown on Erie House Radio. Hi, Jiggles.
He's gone. He's gone.
He's gone?
He's gone. Yes.
Oh, well, that was a shame. You fun little guy.
Hey, Dale, you know how I said I couldn't find anything and that I wasn't sure whether it was real or not? Well, Bryce Bond was a bit of a psychic investigator. He had an FM radio station where he spun records like Sinatra and things like that, but he always had an interest in it. And it looks like before he passed away, he did get a book out, UFO's Key to Inner Perfection. So, you know, very well this could be from his psychic UFO investigation files. So there you go. This could very well be based on truth. And they said at the beginning it was, like I said, I want to believe. Now, there are some other stories that they did as Bryce Bond, but I don't think the same guy came back. Arnold Moss in The Ghost with the Knife, Arnold Moss played the part of Bryce Bond. And but an interesting story, and could be it's based, in fact.
We don't know. But they wants to believe.
I want to believe.
I must believe it.
Me, see it, David Duchovny. We want to believe. Yes.
Yeah. And Agent, what's her name? Yes. I'll never forget good old Agent, what's her name?
Good old Agent, what's her name? That's funny you say Agent, because one of the articles on Bryce Bond actually called Bryce Bond the 007 of UFO experiences. How's that?
I was going to say that too.
I have no idea what the heck that means. But that's what they entitled the article from UFODigest.com.
Would they lie? I think not. Such a reputable company.
That's right. I mean, right up there. Just half a. Well, okay, I'm not going to go there. Anyway. Actually, I enjoy. We air a feature called Fate Magazine. It's about cryptozoology, about these odd creatures in history of witchcraft and all kinds of unique things. It's a really fun program. And even if you don't believe the stories they're telling you, and some of them are based on history, and there is historical evidence for some of the things. But the thing is, even if you don't believe in the stories, they're still darn good stories. How's that?
You'll have to let me know when that is on. Mrs. Case might be interested in that little bubble.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, never know. Never know. In any event, we do have the third and final portion of our radio program. Hey, he's back. You're back. Welcome back.
Oh, I know. This is Peepo the Clown. Huh? How are you today?
Did you do something with Jiggles?
No, I'm not Jiggles. I'm Peepo the Clown.
I know, but Jiggles was here earlier. Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, Jiggles. He sounds like a freaking hack clown.
I'm not.
The real deal. I'm Peepo.
Well, Peepo, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You fell for it, didn't you?
Well, not unless he lived. Not unless he stole your phone. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Peepo's going through puberty.
Oh, really? Peepo's going through puberty? I didn't know that. There must be some girly clowns around here.
I hope so. He sounds like a bit of a New England clown. I heard a little New England accent.
Interesting. I'll have to keep that in mind for my little act that I do here. I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I?
And what is your act?
I don't know. I'm just a clown having an existential crisis right now. But aren't we all?
Is there some way we can assist?
Well, you know, you could assist with the whole multiple personalities thing, too.
I thought that might be the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey there, my name's Cletus. Nice to meet you.
Cletus the clown, too? Is he a clown, too?
Nah, I'm just Cletus. I live here with my ma, my pa. So good, man. Start off my day with a deep-fried double bacon cheeseburger. That's my all-American breakfast right there.
Oh, I could go for that. I could go for that.
You know, all these guys are just fighting my head constantly. They're the real clowns here.
Can we speak to Sybil?
Who do you want to speak to?
Sybil!
I'm the civil one.
Just a schizophrenic joke there.
Look, if you're looking for any kind of social media presence, then you may find that on a link called youtube.com/hatkid. HATKID. There, I just gave it away for you. Now you know me.
All right, I was waiting for that free plug.
There you go.
And well deserved. Well deserved. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Hope you're enjoying our radio program tonight from way back in the 70s. Normally we play stuff much older, but this was a thrilling show called CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And each weekend we bring these old-time radio shows.
Beautiful, really.
Okay.
That's good for the imagination. Just as you are with all those wonderful personalities that you have there.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you calling in. Hope you stick around. We got to wrap up Window to Oblivion from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll be back, Jingles.
With Bryce Bond's quiet, positive announcement that her first husband is still alive, suddenly Joan is swept by forces beyond the iron control she has practiced all these years. She seems to shrivel suddenly, to become her age and beyond it, to be shaken and set adrift, reaching for any straw of reassurance to help her face the enormity of the belief she has nurtured in secret all these years, which now may become stark reality.
You said 40 of you? There are 40 other people in the world that believe with me that Billy is still alive?
That's right.
I'm stunned. I don't know what to say. Where is he?
Joan, I'm afraid I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Oh, it isn't that I'm keeping any information from you. I have seen Lieutenant Howard, and I have talked with him, as have others. But exactly where he is could only be an educated guess.
Why?
Because he's not in our dimension, in our world.
I just don't understand.
Well, look, let me explain, Joan. You know, our world is not alone. There are other cultures, alternate realities, some of them living concurrently in the same time stream as ours. Others, light years ahead of us. I think you believe this, as I do.
Yes, I do, but I...
But let me finish, please. Now, these other worlds, many of them meet and relate to each other. We know, or can theorize this, because dotted across our globe are convention spots, meridian points, window areas, call them what you want. One of them is in the Sea of Japan, one in Arizona, one south of the Bermuda Islands.
What is a convention spot or a window area?
A spot where people converge from all levels, all dimensions ever so often. A mass movement of cosmic energies that causes a kind of an explosion in the physical dimension.
This is all speculation, isn't it? I mean, it is not scientific fact.
Oh, but it is. Sir Isaac Newton postulated that where energy and matter meet, there is created a timeless dimension called minus zero.
What has all this to do with Billy?
Well, your husband happened to be in the right spot at the wrong time. At the instant where all these journeys from alternate realities converged, there was a momentary physical convulsion of energy that opened a window to the unimagined. And in that instant, whoever was caught on the surface was sucked into the vortex through that window and trapped in a timeless void.
And that's where Billy is now? Where he's been all these years?
Yes.
Oh, how awful, how terrible for him.
No, don't forget, he's in a different time from us. And remember, we have talked to him. Not only once, but twice. And although he is anxious to get back to you, he is far from unhappy.
You have actually talked to him?
It was because you finally went to APRO that I felt I had to get in touch with you.
APRO?
The Aerial Phenomena Research Organization.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Well, like so many organizations, the title is a jawbreaker, so we all use the acronym for it, APRO.
You say you talked to him. How can you be sure it was Billy?
We can't. Although he identified himself as Lieutenant Howard, we can't unless someone like you authenticates it.
Me? How can I'm not an authority.
You are on Lieutenant Howard. Look, I won't bother you with the 40 original reports we had on meetings with him. But on the strength of those, recently, two of the psychics and myself made contact with him. But I don't ask you to take this on faith, Joan. I have solid evidence.
Evidence?
Yes. Let me refer to some notes we made. Ah, here. Your husband told us he was 26 years old when he disappeared and that 2 days before the ill-fated flight was the anniversary of your first date, 10 years before. At Pasley's Diner on the corner of Plain and Elm Streets in Bloomsbury, Ohio.
Yes, that's right.
It was raining, and he had a hole in one of his shoes. And you ordered filet a sole.
How could anyone else but Billy remember that?
I'll tell you other things. He has a mole on his left shoulder blade and two scars. A little one under his eye where he got hit by a baseball, and one alongside his right kneecap from having cartilage removed after a football injury.
Yes.
You were childhood sweethearts, never went with anyone else, were married before he joined the Marines in 1939. It was a civil ceremony, and he lost the ring and had to run out to the 5 and 10 to buy one. After you were married, he brought you a real one inscribed, "You'll never lose me. Love, Billy." And the 5 and dime when he wears around his neck to this day.
How could anyone know all this?
Only because Lieutenant Howard told us.
Then he is alive. He really and truly is alive. But he's trapped in a timeless void. What can we do to get him out of there?
You don't need any techniques but love. I can help you relax, put you in a state of mind to be receptive to the waves of energy and electromagnetism from beyond.
But I can't bring Billy back here. What would I do about Charlie? I'm married again.
Perhaps you could go to Billy. Set his mind at rest.
Oh, I'd be afraid to. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
It was late that afternoon that I left Joan Howard, now Joan Murillo, to call her by her second husband's name. I was in two minds as I drove towards the Miami airport. Would I and should I have interfered if I had known that she was remarried? But that was a decision really beyond me. As a psychic, I had responded to a distress signal from two worlds. I was only an instrument, the decision not mine. I thought of Billy Howard as I had last seen him, imprisoned in a sort of glass cylinder, lost and alone, seeking any communication with his lost wife. I would have been amazed if I had known what was happening in air traffic control in Miami at that moment.
Lieutenant Colonel Banion?
Speaking.
I think you better get down here, sir. I got a bogey at 242 head and will not acknowledge. Now, I don't know who this lollipop is, but he's violating airspace.
I'll be right down.
Should I sound a defense intercept?
No, you hold it till I get there.
Roger.
But you keep after that lollipop. You make him identify himself.
Affirmative. We'll comply. This is M Center. Aircraft on heading 242. Imperative, you identify. Give us your type and position. If unable to communicate, try to squawk if you're 2011. This is M Control to aircraft headed 242. If you do not identify...
Where's this bogey you were talking about?
It's right there, sir.
Uh-huh. All other planes are identified?
Checked and double-checked.
This bar won't answer you, huh?
Maybe his radio is out.
Maybe a lot of things, but that bogey is well inside the DZ. I'm going to send up... Hey. What happened to him?
Well, I don't know. He just dropped out of sight suddenly right off the scope.
Well, where'd he go to?
Search me, sir. Unless he got below 800 feet, that would take him off the screen.
You better hit the panic button. You scramble a DZ intercept. We gotta find him, whoever he is.
At that moment, I could have found him for them. He went over my head, his exhaust roaring and leaving a trail of smoke behind him, coming in for a landing, heading north where I had just come from. The plane looked oddly old-fashioned, and a premonition came over me. I wanted to turn the car and follow, but strangely my engine had gone suddenly dead, and some inner voice spoke to me saying, "Leave well enough alone. You know who it is and where he's going."
Billy!
Joan.
Oh, you came back.
Because you called me to. How are you, Joan?
I'm well enough. You can see how I am. But you...
Oh, I'm all right. You needn't have worried about me.
I see that now. You haven't changed a bit. You're just the same as the day you said goodbye to me.
You haven't changed either, Joan.
Oh, you don't have to be gallant. I'm an old woman.
Oh, older, maybe, not old. What a wonderful thing that after all these years, your faith has helped keep me alive.
Has it been so awful?
Not awful at all. And time is different. It hasn't been long for me, preparing, getting ready for what I had to do.
For what you had to do?
Well, that doesn't matter at the moment. What's important is that you, that we are together again. Come with me.
Where?
To a whole new world that I'm just about ready to be accepted into.
What sort of world?
It's under the sea, on the ocean bed. That's why I've had to wait my time till I could learn to breathe and live there.
Under the sea where?
Where I disappeared. Down among the pyramids.
Beneath what they call the Bermuda Triangle?
I don't know what my old world calls it, but it's love and happiness and peace. Come there with me.
Oh, Billy, I can't. Our world has slipped us by. I can't come with you.
Of course you can. Why do you think I was allowed to come back?
Billy, it's too late. If I came back with you to your world, you would still be a young man, and I would be a wrinkled old lady who could be your mother. Maybe even your grandmother.
Joan, don't you love me anymore?
I love you forever. As I did when we were together. As I may in some future heaven. As I do now. In memory. But my love at last has its place. As yours must have for me. You and I are at peace. And it's time for us to say a real farewell.
I'm glad I came back.
So am I, Billy. It's time for you to leave.
Yes. It's time. To the future. When we will all be rejoined again.
The sky was suddenly full of jet planes. But I heard the individual sound of Billy Howard's plane take off behind me and roar over my head. At the same time, my car engine came alive again, and I continued on toward Miami. For the rest of the story, I pass on to you some Army tapes which were made available to me. For me, they are an answer. For you, that you will have to judge for yourself.
Do not take any direct action until advice from here.
What is it? What do you got now?
Bogey there at 6-0. Colonel Benyon is heading out.
Who's that on his tail?
F-15 Intercept Command. Pilot Pete Jacks.
Let me get on the horn. What's his signal?
Green Mac, Colonel.
This is M. Sander, Colonel Benyon, the Green Mac. You read me? Over.
Green Mac, I read you, sir. Over.
You are on the intercept course with a bogey. Have you sighted him? Over.
Just closing, sir. Weather is pretty dirty. Big black front sitting down. He is hard to identify. Over.
Is he one of ours? Over.
I don't know, sir. Over.
Well, what's the matter with you? You can't identify your own craft? Over.
Yes, sir. But I know this sounds crazy. I think he's ours, but I never saw this kind of plane in the air. Only in books. It's a prop plane, Colonel. And if you pin me down, I'd have to say an old Marine Corsair. Over.
A Corsair? You mean F-4U? Over.
Yes, sir. F-4U. It's hard to see because... I'm sorry. Extreme air turbulence. The sea. It's crazy. It's like a volcano or something erupted underneath. It's all white. It's...
This is M. Sander, the Green Mac. Do you read me? Do you read me?
Counselor?
What?
Look at the scope. They both disappeared suddenly. I don't mark them.
They can't have. What happened?
I don't know, sir. I haven't any answers.
Do we have any answers? There are accidents. But what explains them? Are they just a statistical number that catches up with a random individual, or are they, as Bryce Bond and others believe, the result of the meeting between other worlds which coexist with us? Are we just the skin of the onion and living as close to us as that skin, beneath it, layer upon layer of other dimensions, are other cultures, other civilizations? That's up to you to decide. I'll be back shortly. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Oh, yes, they'd be delighted for me to tell them of troop movements, secret dispatches, etc. Anything I wish, but Andre refuses to name any specific amount.
But you ask for so little, 10,000 pounds.
We'll write back to John Andre. Peggy, draft up some letter about hats or gowns or whatever. I'll make notes on my views and perhaps, yes, give them some incidental intelligence just to whet their appetite.
This messenger who's coming back, is our letter to be given to him?
No, we're to tell him who in Philadelphia we're writing to.
I'll write directly to John himself. Why not?
You must be out of your mind. Write directly to Andre. Why, you might as well take your carriage and drive to British headquarters or shout our intentions from the housetops. This must be done in secret.
Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Dream.
Yes. And we're back with, I'm not sure who this time.
Hello, this is Pipple, the magical elf. I'm calling from the enchanted forest. Very nice to meet you.
You know, I think it'd be rather expensive to feed all those multiple personalities, wouldn't it?
I mean, it definitely eats up my clown income.
That's what I call mine, too. That's not fair.
Clown, yeah.
We have a little feature here, Jiggles, where we call it the Wheel O' Radio. And upon occasion, we get someone to call in. We have them stepped up to the virtual wheel and give it a spin and see what magical radio clip comes up. Would you do us the honor of walking up to the Wheel of Radio?
Oh, gladly. I'll just walk up there with my big clown shoes, pat, pat, pat on the ground. And now I'm up there at the wheel.
Give it a good tug there.
And now we...
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
But Hollywood Today is just 100% for you guys over there. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever attended one of those Hollywood premieres, but tonight you've got a ringside seat at as big a premiere as I've ever seen. For the stars are not only out tonight, they're all out to answer those swell letters you send in to Command Performance. First, for Sergeant F.A.H. at APO 857. For Sergeant W.M. and the tank destroyers from Wisconsin. And for A.M. with the Canadian Army overseas, a little number called He Loved Me Till the All Clear Came. And one of your favorite movie gals, Cass Daly. Take it, Cass.
I was strolling in the park
just as it was getting dark when I heard the sirens moan. I ducked into a shelter, willy-nilly, helter-skelter, to find that I was not alone. There was someone next to me. And though neither one of us could see, we sensed each other close at hand. And there within the gloom of that little blackout room, love and I played a one-night stand. He loved me till the all-clear came. He loved me till the all-clear came. He had the strongest yen in the dark, and then suddenly the all-clear came. He loved me till the lights went on. I looked around and he had gone. Our story seemed to go like a picture show. Suddenly there came the dawn. While I was brave as could be and trying to be merry, there in the cozy dark, I don't know if it was he or an incendiary, but something found its mark. I didn't even get a scratch, and incidentally, that's the catch. But still, they've listed me as a casualty. Isn't that an awful shame? And to think I really loved them, I really, really loved them till the all-clear came. He held me tenderly and drew close to me. Suddenly, the all-clear came. The raid, he was a civilian inspector telling me what to do. But in the light, he was a conscientious objector. I made the pitched wound. Of course, I didn't come to harm. The air raid was a false alarm. And confidentially, lady, so was he. I found out his name was
Thank you, Cass Daly. And thanks to Nathaniel Finston and the MGM Orchestra, appearing through the courtesy of Local 47.
Yep.
Yeah, wonderful spin there, Jibbles. I remember Cass Daly mostly from, to tell the truth, of course, her movie career was over, and she was a panelist on the Gary Moore hosting To Tell the Truth. This particular song, first time I heard it, I thought it was Betty Hutton. And so this was a pretty good impression of Betty Hutton and her energetic, overpowering energy in her songs that she gave. So great spin there, Jiggles.
I think she had a very, very lovely voice.
She did, yes. Something very, so much energy and energetic, and just a fun little tune from World War II. And yes, the All Clear, well, your home civil defense guys. Yep.
Not sure what you're into, Jiggles, but we do old-time radio here. We also talk about old-time movies, cartoons, Stooges, things like that. And both of us are from the Northeast Ohio area, so we have like television horror hosts that we remember here. Did you have anybody like that growing up?
Well, back in my day, didn't pay too much attention to horror because I was more about the clown arts, personally. I mean, my favorite music, my favorite song, personally, it goes and, you know, I'm very cultured about that sort of thing.
Why wouldn't it be that song?
The world is killing.
You've always wanted to be a clown? You've always wanted to be a clown, have you?
Oh, very much so. When I was a young whelp of a lad, I noticed
my town, the town I grew up in, it was boring. Even the circus was boring. There were no clowns. A clownless circus. Ridiculous.
That would be ridiculous. So,
I aim to bring fun to the lives of others, even those who are boring.
Does it bother you that clowns are used in horror films?
Oh, it very much bothers me, especially when I moved to this town and the kids had multiple sightings of me and they thought I was Pennywise, so they marched into my new house and beat me up. It was very humiliating, you know.
I don't mean to laugh at your pain. It's just an unusual occurrence.
Well, look, they smashed a pie in my face and beat me with tree branches. It was unpleasant, I say.
Tree branches?
And, you know, one time on Blog Talk Radio, I called into a show that was interviewing a politician. I don't remember his name, but I wanted to call. I said, "Hello, this is Jiggles the Clown." The host was very confused, but he let me talk anyway. But he hung up before I could ask the politician what he's going to do about clown rights. They wouldn't let me ask the damn question.
Sorry, this is fucked up.
What a stuck-up, boring so-and-so.
Oh, God.
So what kind of clown rights are you looking for? What do clowns need as rights?
Well, did you know that in 27 states, clowns aren't allowed to vote?
What? That's
really?
An outrage.
No, you don't know that. That is. I mean, everybody should have the right and the responsibility to vote, including clowns.
Especially clowns.
Exactly.
You need to vote. Usually the clowns are the ones who are running.
So, do you take offense when the politicians are called clowns?
Well, I don't mean to break character by laughing. It's just, that's pretty funny.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, as being a professional clown yourself, do you take offense to people being, politicians being referred to as clowns?
Oh, not at all. I think it's well deserved, honestly.
Yeah. We would have to agree,
absolutely. Yes. Oh my. Is there a place where clowns can thrive, a particular state that's safe for clowns, where they, you know, where they're not beat up with tree branches and they are allowed to vote?
Well, if there is a state like that, then I haven't found it yet. But I'm searching.
Well,
I'm definitely searching. Maybe if I go to Canada, maybe they'll have some inclusive clownness over there.
Well, they're pretty polite up there. Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't know. State of hilarity is D.C. Yeah, there's a lot of clowns in D.C., Washington, D.C.
I could go to D.C. There's a lot of clowns there, a lot of people of my type.
There truly are. Have you ever been part of a circus?
Oh, I was part of a circus many years ago. It was the boring circus. But I managed to bring so much life into it. It was called Cirque de Bure, but I called it Cirque de Boring because it was truly the most abysmal circus I've ever seen. No clowns, no nothing. So I brought the clowns into it. You know, it's funny. I was working as an intern, and the ballerinas, they were performing in the tent, and then I showed up and started dancing in my clown suit. The people were shocked, but then they were amused, and that's how I got my job.
It's amazing.
Wow.
I mean, my boss nearly beat me on the spot, but it ended up working out in the end.
You know, there's kind of a myth, maybe a myth, you can prove it or not prove it, about clowns. And when they're in the circus, they all fall in love with the girls on the High Wire Act. Is that the truth, or is that just a myth?
I mean, we don't really get much action, so we'll fall for whatever female she comes our way.
Clown action, huh? Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, my.
You really are having your rights taken away.
Oh, my. Well, before we get into what's happening next week, Dale, I have a dime here for the virtual jukebox. If you'd like to put that in the jukebox there.
Sure, as soon as this is over.
The Calliopes are never over, Dale. Calliopes are never over.
That's true. I thought I'd play that for our guest.
Oh, that's you playing.
Yeah, that's me.
So you're feeling, making our guests feel right at home there, huh?
Yes, yes.
This reminds me of 30 years ago in the circus. Good times, good times. Too bad I'm a character and all of that would
is,
fake.
Is
but
it
hey,
true
it's
about,
funny, isn't it?
Is it true what they say about why clowns wear big shoes?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe, my friend.
Yeah, big feet. And that's all.
How do you find? Where do you buy socks from? That's what I want to know.
Let me think of a joke for this.
Yeah, because we got nothing.
Yeah, I got
that's
nothing.
That's why I asked.
But I mean, when you've got a big sock like that, there's more space for, you know, when you don't have any tissue. But anyway, let's talk about more clown things.
More clown things. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick move over to the virtual jukebox there, Dale, and then we'll come back with a little bit more clowns. Stop.
All right. You got the dime? Put it in the jukebox.
I got the dime. You got the jukebox?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here it is.
One of the newest developments of chemical science to be made available commercially by the DuPont Company is Antu, a long-known chemical discovered during the war to be a better rat poison. Now it is available in branded compounds for your use. Antu is so powerful that a few ten-thousandths of an ounce will kill a rat. It is easy to use in a bait or as a tracking powder. While Antu is a special poison for the common rat, and is not as dangerous as most rat poison, it is a poison, and pets and animals should be kept away from it. Your local dealer probably sells a rat poison containing Antu, one of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry.
Except for the rat.
As a result of long continuing research in the field of commercial explosives, the DuPont Company today manufactures more than 200 different formulations of dynamite, as well as other explosives, blasting supplies, and accessories. DuPont research has also brought to light new and more efficient ways of using explosives, including a new and better way to fire them, the DuPont Blasting Timer. It is now known that in some types of blasting, better results are obtained when one big blast is divided into a number of little ones, fired with almost unbelievable accuracy a few thousandths of a second apart. The new DuPont invention, the DuPont Blasting Timer, detonates blasts in just this way. It looks like a portable radio. Inside the box, cams so delicately machined that they operate with greater accuracy than a fine stopwatch, close switches that fire the shots one after another. In developing natural resources such as coal and other minerals, blasting must occasionally be carried out near residential and business districts. Here, the timer is of service because it reduces the vibration of the ground. The DuPont timer also makes delay shooting even safer than before, providing an accurate means of firing the charges without using electric blasting caps in the drill holes, and lessening the danger that an unfired charge will remain in a hole and go off later by accident.
Oops.
In addition, tests indicate that the DuPont blasting timer will be of considerable aid in rock quarries, bringing down the rock in smaller pieces, which means greater efficiency and lowered costs.
More injuries.
This new DuPont invention is another contribution to efficiency and safety from the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry.
Wow, rat poisons and explosives. Way to go.
The things you learn.
You know, rat poison is great. I mean, those kids who beat me up, how do you think I got rid of them?
I wonder if it works on ex-wives. I don't know.
Well, it could. I've never been married, but it could.
Well, yeah. You know, we have a club here of those of us that have been on have been married once, and two of us are on our second marriage. So,
yes, the practice wives.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I'm a 52-year-old clown being voiced by a 19-year-old, so there's not a whole lot of experience I have with marriage.
That's probably good.
Probably, yes. Would have been better in my case the first time around, but hey, you know, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. As older guys, we advise go right to your second marriage. Don't fool around with the first one. Just go straight for the second marriage. It'll save you half your stuff.
That's right.
I'm shooting right for the drive-thru wedding in Vegas.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, the advantage of that, you can get married by Elvis there. I still like that idea, but... Higgins, I like it. Thank you very much. You know, pay him.
You mean that Chris the Bond, baby?
Yep. Hey, what do we got coming up next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
No idea, because it's going to be a dark and stormy night, isn't it?
It is going to be a dark and stormy night all weekend, even if it isn't. It will be at Erie House.
Yeah, episode of Inner Sanctum, The Strange Dr. Weird, and Suspense. That's on Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Then the next day, Saturday, 1 week from tonight, it'll still be stormy with The Saint and Hall of Fantasy.
There you go. Yep.
It's next weekend.
Should be a lot of fun. Make sure you have your umbrella with you. You may need it because it will be a dark and stormy night.
It will. Dave, any sightings of weirdness, really bad movie coming your way?
I don't think we're coming up Monday. So a week from Monday, we'll be there. Like I said, mentioned, we're working on a brand new episode of the weirdness, really bad movie right now, the coronavirus episode. So we'll be looking for that pretty soon. I don't have a lot of spare time, but I did today, so I've really got this thing off and running.
And after our show here tonight at 8 o'clock, which is, say a minute 10 seconds away or so, our friend Gar the Ghoul, broadcasting live. Just go to his Facebook page, catch that link to, Viloud or Relox?
I vlog TV or television. Or
I vlog TV. With horrible host, Gar the Ghoul, hosting weird movies.
Yeah, he's doing the movie he was going to do 3 weeks ago, but there was so much trouble with the website. And I think he should have said throughout it, darn you, Vlog Talk, throughout the whole program.
Yep. Well, want to thank everybody for stopping in the chat. CW, Fogsbane, GGSI Paper, Evil Annie Serpent Society 9, and anyone else who we can't see. Thanks.
And Jiggles and Quarrel.
And Jiggles, thanks for calling.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. when next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Oh, that was good timing there.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Remember the link, youtube.com/HATKID.
HATKID.
And in kid. Oh. One word, hat kid.
Hat kid. Hat kid.
Yeah. All right, let's check this out while we're here. Why not?
You may get a surprise. A strange young man governs this channel. That's totally not me, except it is me.
Ah, okay. That would be the... this youngster would be Max B, huh?
Indeed it is.
Yeah, we can see why you haven't had the first marriage yet. Or why
nope, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it.
Here, let me do this to you. Dale, this is, I get it to you this way.
All right.
You.
Okay. I feel a link coming.
But you know what? I think I'm going to sign off. However, I just
want
to say...
Well, thank you much for calling in and being part of our show tonight.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. We'll have to check out your stuff.
Thank you very much, man. I'll be sure to listen to the show even more.
Appreciate
well, yeah. And don't be afraid to call in. Fridays is a little more crowded with Gar is here, but Saturdays we've usually got an open seat right here for you, so.
All right,
yep.
Sounds good. You guys have a great rest of your day.
You
we'll
too.
Do.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, he is a young man. He's a young man. Yeah.
Young fella. Awesome. Awesome,
yep.
awesome.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You never know where that's going to take you or where it's going to take you.
We meet the coolest people doing the stuff we do.
We do.
Our shows, Goulardi Fest, other associations I've had. It's been fun.
The best
the fun
thing
is
when they don't take themselves too seriously, because you know after all that is what ruined the Beatles. So you know.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and speaking of that, I'm not the biggest Stones fan in the world. Matter of fact, I'm not a real crazy about the Stones, but I have to admire they have a new single out, Dale. Living in a Ghost Town. It's actually getting the charts again. No, they're topping the charts, and these are guys in their 70s. I think that's absolutely fabulous. And you know, the secret of their success is the fact that they've got some talent, but they never ever took themselves too seriously. There's no way you could have survived if you did.
I always thought it was formaldehyde. I mean, come on, Keith Richards. What is holding that man together?
I don't think you want to know. Super glue, for one thing, I think. But
yeah,
you never know.
I'm sure he sniffed some.
But you know what? To me, I think that's absolutely great that these guys in their 70s are now charting the top of the charts again. I guess it's a song that they started writing several years ago, and they just never got around to finishing it with everybody being quarantined or for stay-at-home orders and stuff. They got together to put it together.
Nice.
I think it's very interesting. When I'm seeing on FaceTube some of these musicians that are doing songs and music and doing it somehow through like a Zoom type presentation that they throw on record and throw on Facebook and such like that. Some absolutely amazing things that people are doing from their homes.
That's pretty cool. Everybody wants to be Gar.
Everybody wants to be Gar. That's right.
We're doing our show live. That talented young man that called in. That's amazing.
Yep, and I just went ahead and subscribed to him so I can keep up with him or that. And keep up with what's going on. And I'll have to find a clown weekend, which would be easy if we just do politicians. That's not a problem. So, but maybe I'll look up some clown stories and see where we go from there.
Yep. You know what? Cannibals don't eat clowns, don't you?
Like cannibals don't, because they taste funny? I don't know.
Yes, they taste funny.
Okay. I didn't know for sure.
You got it.
I didn't get that cannibal cookbook. For some reason, it just didn't come in my book of the month club, you know?
Yes.
Well, they're doing an interesting show there for the fact that we didn't even have the right part up there first, or I didn't have the right part up there at first.
Yeah, that's all right.
We can do what we always do and blame it on Blog Talk.
And we still had a ton of time left.
And we did, and we still got the whole story in. So that's, I'm just glad that at least I never shut down the whole thing when it comes to after it's uploaded. So that I keep it in place, ready to roll.
Yep.
Just for emergencies like that.
Yes, indeed.
Well, sir, I got a couple of things I wanted to do, and one of them is getting back to the Weirdness Really Bad movie that I'm kind of working on, because since I am kind of back to work tomorrow and like to, I may do a late night outside segment tonight to finish it off, but we'll see, because one of the myths I'm going to persist is that the coronavirus is afraid of the dark.
I always wanted to do a show from under my willow tree, because I mean it's really big now and it reaches all the way to the ground, you know, where like
under the weeping willow tree.
Yes, under the willow.
Under the weeping willow tree. I think it was a poem.
Was it?
I think so.
No, we've been having good turnouts these last few weekends. I don't know what's going on.
I think the being stuck in the house, but then there's plenty of things they can do. Luckily, I feel very fortunate that they're spending their time with us.
Yeah, I was looking at the weekly stats, and I'm kind of surprised what we've been doing here. It's very nice, very, very. And the nice guy was a nice guy. The kid just called today.
Yeah, he was. I'm sure he gets put off on shows that he calls into. So, let me see.
Today, the first.
No, that's not the one. That was not the one I was thinking of. So, okay.
No, today's the second.
Today is the second. Today is the second. And
about 60 in the last week. 60 listens. Nice.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah. All 60 of you.
1, 2, 3, 4. You know what, Dale? We are just about coming up on 700 shows, complete shows that we've shared with everyone. So,
And Erie House 400 will be coming up soon.
Yeah, that is coming right up there.
Yep. 400. Four freaking
out. Wow. Wow.
So I would imagine by the time we hit 500, we'll have 1,000 different radio shows we played.
I very well could be. Very well could be. Because like next weekend, we got 5 shows again over the weekend, you know. Some weekends we only have 2. And you know what? It's about time for another drive-in. So, you know, that'll just be a night where we have just a weekend we have 2. But excellent stories they will be.
Yeah, buddy.
I am.
I like,
and you know what? I may pull the Dashiell Hammett up. The fact is, I just watched a show from the 50s, Studio One, a version of one of Dashiell Hammett's stories, and it was just a really wonderful story. So I think that's going to get pulled up real soon here. So.
Yeah. We are just cleaning up house in the studio, gang. So
all
we
right,
are
sir,
ready
well.
For you next weekend.
Yep, yep. Because it'll be a dark and stormy weekend on Erie House Radio, and I hope that you'll all be here with us to enjoy that storm.
Yep.
So with
that's, no Friday at 8:30 Eastern, and Saturday at 6:30 Eastern, as always.
Very good. And with no further ado, here's Mr. James Durant.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Meow, 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 meow